Screen Time Stories is presented by Pinwheel. Pinwheel reimagined the smartphone experience to support healthy child development, and therapists backed the design by removing web browsers and social media, promoting focus and intention through the interface, and curating dozens of apps to promote wellness. Pinwheel helps children develop healthy, lifelong boundaries with technology. I'm Julie, and as a parent, I'm sometimes overwhelmed by the challenge of raising my kids in the age of screens. Embracing technology and modern parenting is a must. Our kids will log on whether we like it or not. So let's lean into the challenges and joys of parenting with tech while we learn from the latest research and experts in the field. This is Screen Time Stories, parenting techniques for raising tech natives. Let's figure this out together. We've launched a couple of episodes on the challenges that parents face when raising their kids with technology. And the central theme that keeps popping up is that it's incredibly difficult. Just kidding. I mean, it is, but what I meant to say is that we have to create and keep strong relationships with our kids. Last week, Dr. Mike Brooks mentioned that we can't tell our kids to go eat carrot sticks while we're snacking on a bag of Cheesy Poofs. In that same vein, we can't tell our kids to limit their tech use while we're transfixed on our devices. It's hypocritical. Even our younger kids will pick up on it. It's easy to throw shade on the parent that's scrolling on their smartphone while their kid asks over and over again for them to look because it's a squirrel. But let's be real, I've been that parent. I've seen thousands, maybe millions of squirrels in my lifetime. I'm not purposely ignoring my kid, but by not engaging with them, I'm prioritizing my screen. Now imagine if the roles were reversed. My kid is the one ignoring me while I ask him to look at a proverbial squirrel. When we stare the issue in the face like this, it's clearly not okay, but I get it because in the moment it can be difficult to break away from our devices. Starting now, let's choose to be more aware of how much attention we give to our screens and how that behavior affects our kids. Whether we like it or not, our little monkeys will copy the way we use tech. Scientific research on this specifically is fairly new, but studies like one from Boston Medical Center show that caregivers who are highly absorbed in their device respond harshly when their kids try to gain their parents' attention. That's specifically as it relates to screens, but we know intuitively that kids copy their parents. Plus, there's a massive amount of data to support this intuition. It's hard to apply this monkey see, monkey do logic to technology, though, because it's new and abstract, not tangible and familiar, like carrots compared to Cheesy Poofs. So how do we role model good tech behavior? Simply put, we need to use our devices the same way that we ask our kids to use theirs. This means making eye contact during conversations, sticking to house rules like no phones at the dinner table, and limiting overall screen time. You can create a screen time contract to work out a plan that makes sense for your family to stick to. But please show yourself a little kindness and remember that technology is designed to suck us in. It's important to acknowledge when this happens to you and your kids and address it. You could set timers, hide your apps, turn off notifications, toggle do not disturb mode on, or just power down completely, which is actually really liberating, even if it's only for an hour. Through all of this, I bet I know what you're thinking. There's a key difference between how adults and kids use their devices. We're working 9 to 5, scheduling doctor's appointments, checking in on relatives. A lot of times we're tapping screens because we need to, not because we want to. In these cases, treat your needs differently, but still set healthy boundaries. For example, if you work from home, set defined work hours and stick to them. If you're texting your friend to see if you should bring anything with you to dinner, or checking the weather to tell the kids if they can finally wear t-shirts again, just say that out loud. Plus, we all know they'll wear a t-shirt whether it's snowing or sunny. But the point is to narrate what we're doing on our devices to include the people around us in our tiny digital journey. Let's talk to some folks. My first guest is Carolyn Savage from Bend, Oregon. Carolyn's a blogger, product reviewer, and writes and edits for the nonprofit RaisingFamilies.org. She also wrote the middle grade fantasy, The Gardenia Curse, and we are excitedly awaiting the release of her next book. Can she get any cooler? Yes, because she has a black belt in Taekwondo. Carolyn and her husband have 2 daughters, ages 10 and 14. Carolyn, Do you feel like kids in general, including your girls, like to test their limits?
Yeah, definitely. I know as teenagers, they're supposed to rebel. They're supposed to test their boundaries.
I haven't been a teen in a couple of decades, but I still test boundaries. I'm a child at heart. Like, I'll have a long list of tasks in front of me, and then I notice my phone and I think, I'll just check the tracking on that package. And we all know what happens next.
Definitely. I mean, I'm one, I can get sucked in to social media, to playing a game or just anything. Like, even if I'm like, okay, I'll just do 5 minutes on something, you know?
Yeah, it's designed to draw you in. But the issue is that we know our kids will copy our behaviors. We've chatted a little bit, and I love it that you take educated guesses about what issues will crop up and then do stuff to address the issue before it ever happens. You created a screen time contract for the whole family to stick to, so everyone knows to not bring devices to the dinner table. You set a timer for yourself to avoid getting sucked into the app you're logging onto. You required your daughter to take self-defense classes before she got her first cell phone. My favorite, though, is how you keep honest communication with your kids. How did you encourage your kids to keep open communication with you?
There was one time when my oldest was little, like 3 or 4, and we had cookies and she snuck some cookies and I ended up finding out. So I talked with her about it and, you know, tried to explain, like, sometimes having sugar or cookies, like, that's totally fine, but we don't want to overdo it. You know, everything in moderation. And that's something that I've tried to share with the tech use too. Everything in moderation is okay. It's when it goes overboard. And she ended up, after that conversation, sneaking some more cookies. But her conscience got to her and she felt guilty. So she came to me before I found out and was like, Mom, really? She was really upset. I took some more cookies. You know, I'm sorry. And so I was like, you know what? Thank you for telling me. I really appreciate you being honest. So even though what you did wasn't what I would want you to do, here's another cookie just because you're honest with me. And that really stuck with her. And that's something that she even told her younger sister a lot of years later, you know, because she was like 3 or 4. And it was, so it's something that stuck with her, like, oh, Mom really values honesty because I told her the truth. I got a reward, even though I did something wrong, you know? And I try and share with them too, like, if you do lie or do something, the truth will come out eventually. It would be much better to tell me before I find out, because then I will appreciate the honesty and that you owned up to whatever it was. Whereas if you try and hide it and then I find out, the consequences are going to be a lot worse. And so I think they've learned that, or at least I hope they do. We'll see, you know, coming into the driving years and all that.
The driving years, a huge level of freedom that we need to prep for. I love the idea of rewarding our kids for honesty, and I'm going to look for opportunities to do that with my kids this week. I'm so appreciative to hear your story, Carolyn. Now, I want to ask Tessa Stuckey about her tips on role modeling tech behavior to our kids. This Houston mother of 4 boys is a licensed professional counselor specializing in teens and screens and the author of For the Sake of Our Youth. Hi, Tessa. Tell me about what you're seeing in the field every day.
It's so different from when we were all teenagers and kids. And sadly, my clientele has gotten younger and younger. So I'm seeing a lot of 9 and 10-year-olds struggling with depression, anxiety, and suicidal thinking. And a lot of it is due to tech use, screen addiction, early exposure. So I'm really, really passionate and motivated to share kind of what I want parents to understand, starting from when their kids are itty bitty, to practice some preventative care. And then if their kids are a little bit older, kind of how the phones are affecting their kids' mental health. And what I'm seeing with screens specifically is that it has become the band-aid for discomfort. Well, let's be honest, starting at baby ages, right? Like when we go out to eat with our babies and they start to fuss, it's very easy to hand over a device so that they're distracted with Mickey Mouse or Paw Patrol rather than teaching them how to self-soothe or self-regulate starting at a young age. So we see that developing starting at a young age, and then it can easily turn into dependency and screen addiction.
I think we as adults use screens as band-aids too, whether we're scrolling to self-soothe or passing a tablet to our toddler.
The foundation of it is very different from a kid who's had it since they were 18 months old. And so it's funny that you even say that, like modeling that tech behavior, because really and truly, when we go out to eat and our two-year-old starts to fuss and we want to hush them, whose discomfort are we actually trying to soothe? Because I know for me, so I had four kids under four. So I had a 3.5-year-old, a 2-year-old, and then twin newborns. And we were the crazy people who still loved to go get Mexican food. And we didn't want to give that up. So we would like haul our four boys itty bitty to the restaurant. And this was like right when I started working. So I was fresh mom and fresh therapist, did not know anything about the screen stuff yet. My 3-year-old and my 2-year-old would throw fits. And what was important to me at that time was, I don't want anybody judging me as a mom. I'm so embarrassed. Like, if they throw a fit, then people are going to think I'm a horrible mom, or my anxiety is going to go through the roof. Somebody else is going to start crying, and it might be me. And I want to enjoy my meal while it's hot and maybe have somewhat of a conversation with my husband. So whose discomfort was I really trying to soothe? My own, right? And so I became dependent on the screen. And so what I'm seeing with a lot of parents is, it is more important to have their phone or their tablet in the diaper bag than an actual diaper. or a pacifier or toys or puffs, because the tablet creates so much peace. So what I'm seeing is, when kids who are growing up with tablets, because they're not learning how to cope, they're lacking resilience. And when they hit those hormonal years and those emotions get really, really big, they have zero resilience to get through it. And typical life stressors, or even the bigger life stressors, but all life stressors to them are unbearable. And what happens is, this is why the suicide rate has gotten so big for adolescents. You know, it's the second leading cause of death for ages 10 to 24. And I don't know if you just heard about the 12-year-old that committed suicide. A 12-year-old just did, because of cyberbullying and horrible stuff. But the reason suicide has become such an option for our kids is because we're raising them in a culture that promotes screen addiction and discourages actually processing and coping their emotions. So then when they hit those hormonal years and the emotions are so big, they cannot handle it. They want an instant fix. Somebody else has talked about suicide at their school, and so they lean on that as the option, or then they start struggling with thoughts of it.
So backing up, I want to talk about just role modeling in general. Like, why do kids even copy our mannerisms?
Right. Well, to them, it's all they know, right? So, and every kid is different, and we all have flaws. So our kids pick up on the good qualities and also the not so good qualities. And it's their version of normal. It's all they know. And so even if you try really hard to always say your please and thank yous in front of your kids, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're definitely going to pick up on that, but the likelihood of them picking up on it is higher. And again, our kids don't pick up on everything we do. It's almost like they choose which ones they want to or not. And it can be very eye-opening as a parent when you realize how much you might say something because your 7-year-old starts saying it all the time, you know? But it's really important to be aware of that. And so what I always tell parents are, you know, what are the core values that you want your kids to grow with while they're living with you at home, so that when they leave, you know, the nest, they at least have these 2 or 3 core qualities and core values. I call it your parenting philosophy. What is most important to you as a parent? Because we cannot do all the things as parents. We cannot create perfect individuals. And so once you are able to pinpoint your core values for your family, then as the adult, you need to prioritize that the most. So whether it's kind-heartedness or being physically and mentally healthy, you know, whatever it is for like that's the most important to you for your kids, then you have to start living that lifestyle so that it becomes their normal.
Yeah. So you mentioned working, and if I have Facebook pulled up because I need to make a post for work, what's the difference between telling my kid that they can't use Facebook and then I turn around and use Facebook? How do I talk to them about that? How do I make that situation okay?
Okay. So first and foremost, Julie, you need to know that no kid likes Facebook. Okay. We are officially old because we're on the old social media. Yeah. Instagram, TikTok, and Snapchat are the big, the big ones for kids.
Got me.
So this is something, and I hear it all the time with my teenage clients. Like, my mom is such a hypocrite. She yells at me for being on my phone all the time, but I look over and she's on her phone all the time. So what I'd like to talk to parents about is a few things. Picking your time and place, right? Like, when your kids are around, maybe avoid being on social media when they're around you. If they are at school or they are in bed or they are busy outside, maybe that's an okay time to be on social media. But when they are around you, try to avoid being on social media, even if it is for work. Yeah. If you do have to get on social media for work while your kids are around, then you simply verbalize that and say, I have to get on social media right now to post something for work. It'll take me 5 minutes. Or I also like using your computer instead of your phone. So like, I do a lot of my marketing through Canva and I will be designing things and my kids will see me doing that and they don't necessarily know what I'm designing it for. And I let them know this is for marketing for work. And then, you know, I go through Canva to post it on certain social media platforms, but I try to stay off social media when my kids are home and I'm around them. Another thing is, like I said, to verbalize it, just to narrate why you're getting on your phone, even if you're not getting on it for social media. Maybe you need to check your email or text a friend back or check the weather. It's really important as parents to verbalize that and make that your habit, your new normal, to say, huh, I wonder what the weather is today. Let me look it up on my phone really quick. Even if you think the kids aren't listening, or even if your kids are really little, it's still important to have that habit so that that signals to them, one, okay, mom's using her phone for productivity. Two, she's not ignoring me. Like, she's actually using it for good or for a reason, not just to get on her phone to play Candy Crush or scroll through Pinterest or whatever. Because if we don't let our kids know why we're using our phone, they automatically go to, oh, she's just mindlessly scrolling that old person platform Facebook and totally ignoring me right now. And that's just not the case. For some adults, it is the case. Maybe you guys are on Facebook and scrolling and not spending time with your family. And I just encourage parents to avoid doing that in front of their kids. Avoid the mindless scrolling as much as possible.
It reminds me of the still face experiment where an infant tries to get their parents' attention but doesn't even receive eye contact. And then this little tiny baby decides to withdraw.
And so it's similar to what a baby or child would see on their parent's face when they're looking at their cell phone.
Yeah.
They really can't see what the context is. And right. So like you say, you're on your laptop to do your marketing stuff. Your kids can like come by and see
right.
what you're up to. But on right. a cell phone, it's smaller. But you just kind of get this glazed over look on your face. And
kind of become like a zombie. I'll never forget one of my twins when he was like 4 or 5 came up to me. And he was like, Mom, are we going to that birthday party tomorrow morning or something? And I didn't respond to him. I went through my mental checklist and I'm like, oh my gosh, I totally forgot about that party. What time is it? Let me check my email to find the Evite to figure out where it is. And then we still have to go to Target to figure out what gift to get them. What is the weather going to be like? Can we make it? Or do we have baseball after? I don't know if we're going to get to go. And the whole time I'm going through that mom mental checklist, I've got my phone in front of me, blocking my face from his sweet little face. And he starts to throw a little tantrum because I haven't even said, hold on, buddy, let me check. Like, yeah. I haven't even responded to him at all. And in that moment, he gets really frustrated with me. And I'm thinking, hold on, buddy. I'm checking right now. I'm literally doing what you're asking me to do. But he had no idea. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. Oh my gosh, I have to start narrating why I'm picking up my phone. And I've done it ever since. Yeah. And I fought with my husband on this. My husband hates it when I share the story, but it's important. Okay. I told my husband we need to start narrating.
I wonder if speaking your actions out loud also curbs your own overconsumption behavior.
Yes.
We're talking about using social media or scrolling or whatever feels good, whatever that band-aid is. You know, we're using it as parents. Like, we realize that we're not role modeling good tech behavior, but it's our band-aid. So how do we go from this is my soothing time, you know, I'm scrolling and I need the moment to I need to cut back and engage with my family?
It's really important. And this is what I work with teenagers and kids with, but I found it works really great with adults as well, is to, when we go to our phone to cope, kind of what I was saying earlier, it's not actually coping. It's just avoiding or distracting. It's really important to recognize that and then find out what does actually work for coping. So the two questions I always ask people is, what do you like to do that's fun? And what do you like to do that's relaxing? And you're not allowed to put like anything with screens in those answers, except for maybe a good movie. Like, that one is totally fine for relaxing, right? But that's a good starting point for adults and kids to figure out, like, what can I do instead of using my phone? Because I think a lot of us are leaning on our phone in times of boredom. I know a lot of people, like, when they get to a stoplight, they, instead of just sitting there listening to music, they'll pick up their phone and check all their accounts and that sort of thing. Because we're living in a time where boredom, I guess, is just not supposed to be happening. And again, that's going to trickle down to our kids. And boredom for our kids is one of the first uncomfortable emotions that they experience starting at a young age. So as parents, we actually need to encourage boredom, because that's where they learn how to cope. That's where they learn how to be creative. That's where they learn how to get through something uncomfortable. And as parents, like, I don't think I'm ever actually bored because I'm always so busy, but I also have times where I can choose to relax. And if I fill that relaxation up with mindlessly scrolling, then I'm not actually relaxing and I'm not doing anything that's actually benefiting me. So then why am I doing it, right? And I think a lot of times we can mindlessly scroll, and that's where a lot of the unhealthy side effects of social media can come in, like FOMO or unrealistic comparisons.
But if I'm picking up my phone without intending to, how can I stop?
So it starts with some self-awareness, recognizing how much time you are spending on your phone, which you can go into settings and find out, and it can be very eye-opening, and then trying to achieve some balance. I do an exercise with clients that I call emotional hygiene, and we break down their physical needs, their social needs, emotional needs, and spiritual needs. And through that, we can figure out how to prioritize certain things for them. It's kind of like self-care broken down into four categories. But in the spiritual part, I talk about, what can you do when you're alone that lifts your spirits and you're not allowed to say social media or gaming? And so some of my clients have a really hard time making a list of those things. And then other people are like, oh, I used to color all the time and I used to love that. And I haven't done that in a while. So then we put that on the list. Or I always ask them like, is there anything you've ever wanted to try? So it's kind of like making your hobbies list or making that list of what do you like to do for fun or relaxing. But you have to go into this with that intention of, I want to replace my screen time with something that feels actually good for me. And then you have to do the prep work of making a list of what those options might be so that when you would normally reach for your phone or you're having a bad day or you're exhausted and you would normally reach for your phone, you've already figured out some options that you can try and you can lean on those. If you don't do that prep work, it's much harder because you're going to be like, oh no, this is the easiest option is to just pick up my phone and scroll through Instagram. But in reality, it's not the healthiest. We have a code word for if someone is on their phone who maybe forgot to narrate why they're picking up their phone or they've gotten lost in the phone. And let me remind you, only my husband and myself have phones. Basically, it's a code word for my kids to call me and my husband.
What's your code word?
Muskrat.
Muskrat? Who came up with that?
We went to visit my brother in Pennsylvania. So it was an exciting Christmas with snow and wonderful things. And my kids are literally opening up their Christmas presents. And my mom is on her iPad, either deleting emails or coloring on a coloring app. Those are like the two things she does. And my son was like, JoJo, look at what I got. And my mom didn't even look up from her iPad.
The therapist specializing. Don't
get me started about this. Like, obviously, some boundaries have been put in place now, and it was really hard for me, right? And so my son or my husband, I can't remember who it was, but someone was like, we should have a code word for if somebody is on their phone too much. Meanwhile, my mom is not listening at all. Yeah. She like, we're talking about all of this right in front of her and she's not even paying attention. And my oldest son was like, muskrat. And I was like, muskrat it is. So I love that we've developed it actually before our kids have phones because it's our family norm. And I'm hopeful that when they do get screens and we call them out and say, hey, muskrat, that they'll hopefully respect it because my husband and I are very good at respecting that. So what we do now is there's sometimes I do narrate why I'm picking up my phone, but then I accidentally get lost on my phone. Like you pick up your phone to check the weather, but then you see a text message from your aunt from last night. So you have to check that first, right? And then you go on, why did I pick up my phone again? I mean, it's like a whole thing. So there have been times when my son is like, mom, muskrat. And I'm like, oh shoot, I am so sorry. I've been on my phone for 15 minutes and I literally haven't even checked the weather yet. So our rule is if somebody calls you out, and you really don't need to be on the phone and they want your attention for whatever reason, you put the phone down. If you do need to be on your phone, so like if I am like literally in the middle of emailing a client or trying to schedule a client because, you know, my mom brain, if I don't schedule them right then and there, I will forget. Mm-hmm. I have to just simply say, hey, buddy, hold on really quick. I have to finish this text message. And then I want to hear everything you have to say. Stay right here. Don't run away. Stay right here. Let me finish this text. And then I'm going to put my phone down. So those are our kind of guidelines within our house. And we all call each other out with muskrat. We're totally comfortable, like out in public or at my parents' house being like muskrat, you know? So it's something really important to us to create that habit.
I'm adopting the code word idea. I want to steal muskrat, but I'll ask my kids to come up with their own funny code word. I'm so glad for your advice because role modeling tech behavior is broad. Can you leave us with a nutshell summary? What can start to set our focus today?
I just think it's really, really important for parents to stay awake and be very intentional and preventative. There's so many things that are scary and dark happening in today's culture that our kids are exposed to. And as long as we practice the preventative stuff and we are very intentional, and then of course, like I'm really big on parent-child communication and connection, then our kids are going to be okay. And they're going to get through this really, really tough time. And they are going to then turn around and raise their kids really well too.
Thank you so much for that incredible insight and advice, Tessa. Based on Tessa's advice, I want us to challenge ourselves to kick off our efforts to be better role models with the fun and relaxing activity. So pick a day and time that works for the whole family and pull out papers, markers, stickers, whatever makes the activity more special. Everyone, including you, should draw a line down the center of their paper and write fun on one side and relaxing on the other. And then talk about what you each enjoy doing for each section. After everyone lists at least three activities in each section, post the papers somewhere highly visible. Next time, when we grab our phones to cope, hopefully the list catches our attention instead. Thank you for listening. Let me know what challenge with technology your family is facing by emailing me at julie@pinwheel.com. We'll share a new episode next week on how apps and video games can use sneaky practices to monetize our kids' attention, and how we can give our kids the tools for defense.